This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens.
This is How Success Happens. I'm your host, Stephen Bronner. Today on the show, we'll hear from Chris Carter, co-founder of Porter Road. The company started as a brick-and-mortar butcher shop in Nashville, and at the beginning of last year started shipping meat across the country to customers of its website. The company, which raised $3.7 million in a seed round in June, says it shipped about 150,000 pounds of meat in the past year. Chris will talk about why they started the company, how it works with farmers, and how he hopes to change the meat industry from within. But first, a word from our sponsor. This episode of How Success Happens is brought to you by Shaper. Shaper is the number one business networking platform that helps you meet the right people to help grow your business. Are you looking for investors, a co-founder, a new job opportunity, or just inspiring conversations? Shaper will find people with similar goals by combining your self-selected interests, location, and industry to produce daily suggestions of relevant professionals you may want to meet. When both people say yes to a connection, the app allows you to message and set up a time to meet. Get Shaper and improve your networking game. Download the app today or check out their site at shaper.co. That's Shaper, S-H-A-P-R.co. You won't regret it. And now for our second sponsor. Looking for a great way to get the kid in your life excited about science, tech, engineering, art, and math? Well, KiwiCo has the answer. KiwiCo is a subscription service that creates super cool hands-on projects for kids. Each month, the kid in your life will receive a fun, engaging new project, which will help develop their creativity and confidence. Every crate includes all the supplies needed for that project, detailed, easy-to-follow instructions, and the best part, each project gives your kid room for adding personalizations and making it their own. From your toddler to your teenager, KiwiCo projects are designed to spark creativity, tinkering, and learning in kids of all ages. Seriously, I can't wait to give my newborn daughter the doctor's visit crate, and I'm already envious our boss's teenage son got to build his own walking robot. If this sounds like something you'd want to check out, you're in luck. KiwiCo is offering How Success Happens listeners the chance to try them out for free. How cool is that? Go to kiwico.com/success to learn about the offer and pick a project. Again, that's KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com/success. Welcome, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Porter Road opened in 2011 as a brick and mortar shop and started selling online last year. Why did you decide to take the step and sell meat online?
Oh, when we first got started, we were very, you know, hyper-focused on local meat for local people. Not everybody in the country has that ability to, you know, have a Porter Road right down the street from their house or in their neighborhood. And we had a lot of people moving away from our shop. And as they were leaving, you know, making that last purchase and kind of parting ways with something that they had gotten very familiar and very comfortable with having every day and every week, you know, not having that ability to source that meat anymore. And our mission is to set out is to change the meat industry as a whole. And the next step is to provide this product to the entire country, so.
And you and your partner started in the restaurant world?
We did. Right? We did. We both went to, you know, traditional schools and then culinary schools after that with the great mission of becoming a world-renowned chef and opening restaurants. And
so I guess one thing we should talk about is what is the problem with most meat that people eat nowadays, especially in America?
The commodity meat industry as a whole is kind of a, it's just a broken system. Like there's so many parts of it that really, still to me, being involved in it every day don't make sense. Like how does this even work? And it starts in an environment where, I mean, really what started us opening the butcher shop instead of a restaurant was the fact that we couldn't find meat in Nashville, Tennessee. In Nashville, Tennessee, you can't throw a stone without hitting a beautiful pasture with amazing beef on it. And these animals are getting sold at 600 or 800 pound weights to a broker or at a cell barn or, you know, however, whatever the outlet is there. And then they're being trucked up to the Northwest and going to CAFO, controlled operated feedlots, and from there being processed and then being shipped back to us on little styrofoam trays wrapped in plastic and sold at a grocery store. So, I mean, there's so many things that happen in between that system. I mean, even with, like, Porter Road standards are 100% pasture-raised. That means that animal spends its entire life on pasture with grass in a very natural habitat. And then 100% pasture-raised, no antibiotics, no hormones. In the commodity industry, it's very important to medicate those animals. And we use an analogy of, like, an elementary school. And when you're bringing all these kids with all their different germs after summer and putting them together in one area, then they all go home, they get sick, everybody gets a little cold or whatever, you know, they're swapping those. It's the same situation. You're bringing animals from all over the country, you're sticking them in one area, and they're swapping those germs. And in order to keep them alive, you have to use those antibiotics.
Right.
And then the hormones, the growth hormones is just at its basic. So, I mean, we eliminate all those things in our system is giving the power back to the farms and just a resurgence of agriculture in certain areas, you know, and giving the ability for a farmer to keep an animal instead of selling it off at a 600, 800 weight for a price that's determined by Chicago stock market. We work out and negotiate a price with that farmer that works for both of us, and he's able to keep the animal its entire life in one location and sell it at a larger weight. So it's a... It's a good system that we're creating. We actually call it decentralizing the meat industry.
Yeah, I would say that if most people have seen the factory farming system up close, they probably wouldn't the meat anymore.
Right.
But so would you be comfortable with people seeing Porter Road's process?
Absolutely. Everything that we've ever done is transparency in the system. James and I originally connected. We'd worked together for 3 days before I looked at him and said, would you want to open a restaurant with me?
Wow.
And it was because we just immediately connected on our beliefs of truth in menus and labeling, transparency in the system, local, seasonal, just thoughts around food, not creating things like it's the middle of winter. I don't want a BLT now. I'll wait till summer. You know, that BLT, you wait throughout the winter and you get that real tomato. It's delicious, you know? And I mean, even like seasonality of meat, people think that chicken is just always readily available and it's just the cheap meat. The way that Porter Road raises chickens outdoors, you can't raise them during the winter. So it's a seasonal meat. And that's, you know, kind of a strange concept.
Yeah, we're almost going back to how things were
right
before we artificially basically changed nature.
It seems like for the craziest reason. Like, how is that? How does it make more sense to take an animal, truck it across the, you know, the country and then ship it back? And like everybody's touching it along the way. You know, in Porter Road system, it's farmer, us, consumer. And there's nothing in between. That's all it is.
How do you actually ship the meat to customers?
So we want to be a grocery store replacement. We want to be a weekly purchasing habit, and the sustainability that goes into our practices and the way that we raise and look at the whole system, it would be a waste of all of that if we were to overpackage or put it into a styrofoam container. And people are turned off by too much packaging. I am personally. So we worked with a company called Green Cell Foam out of Ohio and created a corn-based material that acts as our insulation. That material can be used. I use it to light my barbecue grill with. Or you can run water over it and run it down the drain. You can throw it in your compost. Even the ice packs that we use in our boxes are a gel pack that you can cut, completely compostable material. You can pour it down your drain, no harm. No. 4 plastic goes in the recycling bin. Every single bit of our packaging is either recyclable, compostable, biodegradable, or clean burning fuel to light a grill with.
That's fantastic. And how do your prices, people are going to be wondering like, okay, all of this has to come at an expense. So how do your prices compare to what people are used to?
We refer to it as the real cost of food. And that meaning like a 99-cent butterball turkey. I don't know if I can say butterball. 99-cent turkey.
we'll edit that in post.
Shouldn't be a real thing. It's crazy to think like what environment. People are thinking about prices the wrong way. Like, this price is too high because of what? But nobody ever says, man, look at the deal I'm getting on this really, really low price meat. Think about where that came from. There's something wrong there. But as far as like our prices, especially, you know, with free shipping over $100 or a gift with purchase over $50. So we're constantly changing and promoting new products with that feature. But it's in New York City, you can save money and not leave your house by shopping with Porter Road. We're extremely competitive. We're competitive across the country. But who are we competing against? We're not competing against that 99-cent turkey. We're competing against other people with like-minded farming practices. And unfortunately, there's not enough people in that realm for us to compete with. So, I mean, for that, we would be the highest standard at the highest end grocery store. And we're going to be a better price than that.
So on that note, part of Porterhouse's philosophy as Porter Road, sorry, at least in terms of the branding that I've seen, is that people should eat less meat, which is an interesting position for a butcher shop to stake. Can you explain this?
Yeah,
very good.
That is kind of much more my business partner's kind of philosophy. I'm 260 pounds. I'm eating meat every day. If I don't eat meat, I want to eat meat. But the idea behind it is really goes back to the quality of what we're selling. And it's the satisfaction that you get from eating a really good product and versus a really bad product. And maybe you have a third pound burger from Porter Road and that's plenty. Maybe a quarter pound's plenty for some folks. Or you need a full pound burger of this, you know, flavorless meat. But the idea behind that really goes with the satisfaction that you get from eating a good quality product.
So it's basically quality, not quantity.
For me. But everybody kind of looks at it differently. And we are co-founders for a reason. And we bring our own philosophies, you know, in every little step of the way. But, you know, I agree with it to an extent to where, you know, we use it to promote the product. And it, you know, it's even in the meat industry, if we're going back and forth with like people who eat meat or don't eat meat or don't believe in people should eat meat, we're providing a better option for those people. Mm. You know, it's depends on how you look at it. For me, it's the quality is so good that you get the satisfaction without having to just, you don't need an old 96er.
Could be like, you know, drinking a very good bottle of wine versus drinking it from the can.
Great.
I don't know how good of a metaphor that is because I don't
drink
wine.
No, I like
wine,
that analogy. Yeah, that's great. I should have asked you the question.
Yeah, you mentioned your packaging, which I love, but you probably know as much as anybody that the meat industry is probably one of the highest contributors to greenhouse gases. I think out of all the things that a person can do to cut down on their individual contribution, cutting out meat is number four after not driving as much, switching to electric vehicles, not flying. Eating meat is up there. So how do you hope to change the industry from within?
It's the whole point of what we're doing. I touched on it very briefly, decentralizing the meat industry. I've already talked about the transportation of the animals across the country several times. Decentralizing the meat industry for us is the idea that these farmers that start the growth processes of these animals actually finish that process. They sell into our system then. There's where our facility is located in Kentucky, our animals never travel over 45 minutes. That's to the goodwill and health of the animal. It relieves the stress from the amount of time that they spend traveling, which actually leads to the quality and flavor of the meat as well, keeping that animal less stressed and happy. I know that sounds like a crazy concept too. And then on top of that, whenever you stick all those animals together in one area, you're just concentrating those gases. And on top of that, you're feeding them only a corn supplement, you know, and there's no grass for them to feed on. These animals, like what we've done in Kentucky with one of our farmers, he was a row crop farmer. He had 1,200 acres of soy, tobacco, and corn. And all of those things are GMOs that are sucking the life out of our earth. And those are everywhere. And we've taken that, turned it into pasture, put animals back out there, and we're actually bringing life back to the earth. So it's as we grow and as we scale and get bigger, and as consumers continue to vote with their dollars to support a company and eat a better product, we get the ability to make those changes. But it doesn't happen overnight. And it's definitely part of our mission. And it's a crazy concept to think that still farming is the way to fix those issues. And it really is. It's awesome.
just from an economic perspective, these farmers are incentivized to kind of satiate the needs of these large food conglomerates. But I guess as your company grows bigger, and I'm assuming that you'll have other people kind of copying your business model to incentivize them to take almost slow down their businesses and make a similar amount of money. Because a lot of these conglomerates don't even treat their farmers well, from what I've read.
Well, I actually refer to the commodity meat, like the stuff you're buying on that styrofoam, or not you, maybe, but buying on that styrofoam tray, we refer to it as faceless meat. There is no farmer behind that. There is no story. There is no origin. You don't know where that animal came from. You don't know what it was fed. You don't know how it was handled. You don't know how it was harvested. You don't know any of those things. In our system, if you go to our website and you scroll down, you can see a picture of Joey standing there with Betty. And it's like, these are real people that have real practices. People ask us all the time, oh, do you guys own the farm? Are you guys the farmers? No, I couldn't do a podcast if I was a farmer. I would be farming. And the thing is like, they know what's best. They've been doing it forever. They're the ones that deserve the honor and glory of, you know, the product that they're putting out. We're just a vehicle to get that to the consumer. So we really do try to honor them. And we refer to them as our farm partners, because without them, our system doesn't exist. And in the commodity meat industry, it's do this to the bare minimum, get paid the least. And they're kind of trapped in that system. You know, it's either feed into it or don't. And as we grow our company, we give them another outlet for that. And the farmers that we work with, I mean, that was one of the hardest things we did getting going, you know, 2010. Was being 220-somethings going out to the farmer's market and telling somebody, hey, I'm gonna buy all your animals and I'm gonna buy them whole. And you don't need to come to the farmer's market and piece them out and sell every little piece frozen out of a deep freezer, you know, in 30-degree or 100-degree weather, whatever it may be, standing out here. We're gonna buy all your animals whole, and then we're gonna do the work and we're gonna do all the butchering and yield all of these steaks. And it was just like, no, you're not. Like, I've heard that before. And the ones that said, okay, I'm going to take a chance at these guys. Now we have 10-year relationships with them. And, you know, we've seen their kids grow up and all these little things. Like, it's an awesome system. And there's a lot of farmers out there that would be honored to come and join that.
Have you been reaching out to other farms, or has it been word of mouth maybe?
It's a lot of word of mouth. Our farmers talk to other farmers. They always talk. They're always talking. We're not reaching out right now because there's no need to. We have everything that we need. But as we scale and as we grow, we'll be looking for more relationships just like those across the country. And we'll be revitalizing that agriculture in those communities. And we'll be providing jobs for people in those communities that, you know, are looking for this kind of work. Even in our facility in Kentucky, our employees are purchasing houses. It's like, you know, we provide a higher wage. We provide health benefits, 401k, like things that these people probably wouldn't get in, you know, any other kind of industry or even, you know, have access to.
On that note, where do you see Porter Road in 5 years' time?
The idea is that these facilities, just like we have in Kentucky, are spaced out across the country. You know, I would like, especially with our packaging, and we don't know the advancements that are coming. We don't know the trends that are coming. I mean, I feel like we're a couple podcasts away from the really touching on the dangers of the antibiotics in the meat and all the things that are going on in the industry. And instead of looking at like, let's cut it out completely, it's like, how do we make it better? So we're just going to continue to do that. And honestly, 8 years ago when we unfolded a table at the farmer's market, we knew we were going to open a brick and mortar. But when we opened the brick and mortar, we didn't know we were going to buy a harvesting facility. When we bought the facility, we didn't know we were going to launch a wholesale company. When we launched the wholesale company, we didn't know we were going to start an online company. So there's all these things, and each one of them kind of naturally comes up, and you take advantage of that situation, or you lean into it harder. So, I mean, there's a couple things we know, and we know we want to scale this business across the country, spread it out. We know that we want to disrupt and work as hard as we can to change the commodity meat industry. And, you know, we would like to be a weekly buying habit for the consumer and really replace that grocery store experience and really just provide a bit. And even as people step in and they compete and they want to do what we're doing, it still leads us towards our mission. And if we can change the way that people view meat and meat consumption and farming as a whole, then we've done a killer job.
Okay, so bonus question for you. I'm a mostly vegetarian. I'm not going to say I'm perfect with that. My wife isn't. We just had a baby recently. Mm-hmm. Something I've been thinking about for the future is when she starts eating solid food and, you know, she starts maybe eating beef or chicken. I'm not going to deny her these things, but the thing that I've been talking about with my wife is, should children know where meat comes from? Absolutely. They love animals, they love meat, but should they know?
Yeah, well, first off, we're in kind of the same situation, but in reverse. My wife's actually a pescatarian, and we're expecting our child in April.
Congratulations.
So she's been
kind of... Sleep now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, as much as possible. But she's been kind of, you know, changing the way that she eats just because your body needs different things. So, like, eating more eggs and, you know, stuff like that, she just kind of branches out because it tells you what you need. If you listen to it, like, my body tells me I need a burger pretty often. But the thing is, as far as, like, educating children on those things is there's a certain span of that child's life where, you know, that child needs you to put a spoon in its mouth in order for it to feed. Why not give him or her the opportunity to make those decisions properly and educate them on the whole system? And then they know, yes, I know where it comes from and I still choose to eat that. And it's let them know everything. Maybe let kids, you know, make their own decisions. You know, you can maybe push some of your influence. I know that our child is going to be with my wife some days eating salads and other days with me driving out to the middle of nowhere to find a good barbecue shop. I have a good friend in Memphis who's actually he lives in Colorado now and opened a butcher shop out there. He was one of our managers, but his sister is a teacher there. And she asked her class one time to draw a picture of a chicken. There wasn't a single kid in that class that drew a picture of a chicken. There was chicken nuggets, chicken legs, all these little different iterations of a chicken, but none of them drew an actual chicken. And I think that that is a very dangerous thing.
Yeah, that's huge change over under a century.
Yeah, it's right. Wild, huh?
Chickens used to be pets almost.
Yeah.
We used to adore them as
animals. Until you get really hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, even though I don't eat meat, I'm totally behind your mission. Maybe I will try something one day, but we'll have to catch me in the right circumstances. But please, like, keep changing the industry from the ground up. I think that's the way to do it. And then just remove kind of this corporate greed structure from factory farming. And I think if people have options, then that's the best way to change the system. So
yeah, that's what it's all about.
Keep at it.
Just a better option.
All right. And where can people find Porter Road?
PorterRoad.com.
Any social media that they should check out?
Yeah, we've got at Porter Road.
At Porter Road, Twitter, Instagram.
Not Twitter. Yeah.
Instagram. Do we want to plug these?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have great content.
Check out Porter Road on Instagram.
Meet me at Porter Road on Instagram.
That's our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, and leave us a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and our other great podcasts. That's entrepreneur.com. Thanks.